The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
You can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. He's Eric, I'm Gary. I'm just having fun here. Are you? It's all about me. I just want to entertain myself, so I have this audio cut ready here.
All right.
I have two audio cuts for my entertainment purposes.
Okay. All right.
First is Ocasio-Cortez.
Like, I just introduced Green New Deal 2 weeks ago, and it's creating all of this conversation. Why? Because no one else has even tried. So people are like, oh, it's unrealistic. Oh, it's vague. Oh, it doesn't address this little minute thing. And I'm like, you try. You do it.
Right.
Because you're not. So until you do it, I'm the boss.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm the boss. Yeah.
And secondly, I got to play this one.
Okay.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm going to play this and then we can reverse it. This is on MSNBC, Joy Reid and I'm sorry. This is Tiffany Cross from the Beat DC on with Joy Reid and also MSNBC analyst Jason Johnson talking about Kamala Harris and the fact that she doesn't have the right color husband.
Wow.
First, because she's a prosecutor, blacks may not like her, but her husband is not the right color. Therefore, well, I'll let them say it.
Black men, blue-collar yes. Black men, they're going to have a problem with her record. And you're right, Kareem, she's not the only person. But I will say, I think the African-American community expects more from people who looks like us, particularly a candidate who wants to represent us. So she needs to find a strong black man advocate who can be in her corner at some point on the campaign, at some point in any space in her campaign. That I would say that was my key advice. Find a prominent blue-collar, self-made black man to be in your corner.
Let's just be candid. When you're saying that she needs to have an advocate out there for her, it's not going to be her husband. She's got to surround herself with African-American women.
There you go. Wow. Could you imagine?
Well, why does she have to surround herself with men? Is that not right. Sexist? Is she not strong enough on her own?
You and I said we can hit this from a couple of points of view. When we heard this, it was like, what? First off,
needs to surround herself with men?
First off, there's the racial aspect. I didn't, by the way, just to let you know, I mean, you and I have judged her by what?
What she's promoting.
What she has promoted. Mm-hmm. That's it. I had no idea. When I first found this audio cut, I had to ask you.
I had to ask Google.
And then I found it later on in the article, but I had no idea that her husband was white.
No.
Didn't care. What is she proposing? Could you imagine, as newsbusters.org hit this all, where they said, could you imagine a Republican woman candidate whose conservative credentials are being questioned by some because the candidate's husband is an African-American? Can you imagine a Fox News show in which a conservative pundit advises that the candidate needs a strong white man as her advocate?
Right.
A second conservative pundit agrees, adding, let's just be candid. When you're saying she needs to have an advocate out there, it's not going to be her African-American husband.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the firestorm that would light up in the political media landscape? The point is that we have talked about this before. Identity politics. Everything. Those are the analysts. Those are the elite of the Democrat Party right there. Liberal black leadership that's saying what? Identity politics counts. If you're going to be black, blacks will only accept, not somebody who would be doing stuff in their self-interest, even if they look like them, if their husband or spouse doesn't look like them, they need to find someone of that same gender as their husband who has a darker pigment of skin.
Wow. Which is to say she's not good enough to run on her own.
Yes. She needs the help of a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you she needs to surround herself
with men. Right.
Wait, what? Do you believe she's
are you
strong enough, smart enough, good enough to be the first female president? Or not?
Right.
Because I thought that's where that was all coming from. We support her because, well, not unless she surrounds herself with men, says the left.
You know, it looks like it's not going to get much better. You and I go back to the campaign in 2008, the primary. And it was really, this was in the midst of the primary season, and it was Barack Obama versus Hillary Clinton. And you and I still today, I don't think we'll ever forget that show, will we? We'll never forget that show where we asked Democrats to call to tell us why you'd be for Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Almost exclusively, it was because it's time we had a black man or it's time we had a woman. Issues had nothing to do with it. Nothing.
No.
I don't believe we talked an issue that night.
No. Because it's time we had a female president.
Maybe if memory serves me correctly, someone said, Obama's going to close Gitmo. Maybe we got that. Maybe. But there was no differentiation except she's a woman, he's black. And we shook our heads saying, we're in a different world because I don't care what color a candidate is. I don't care what gender they are. All I care is that they will put forth the policies that I wish them to put forth.
Right.
And by the way, in the Republican Party, I can find both genders and a number of different nationalities that I would vote for that would and ethnicities that would put forth those policies without even a question or with even a thought about anything else except one thing. What do I know they stand for? What policies are they going to push? Which means what legislation will they push? End of story.
That's it. That's it.
That's how we think. You see how some on the other side think. In the media, there they are, blunt.
Well, you know,
sorry, she doesn't have enough of the right color surrounding her.
Yeah, she needs men surrounding her too.
Yeah, men.
Look, she'll get whatever endorsement there is from whoever, whatever group out there. But wow, I thought the left was, you know, promoting and part of the promotion of women and the rise of women, right? Is that not still in play? Oh, no. Not without being surrounded by men. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I can say this. The female candidates I would support on the Republican side don't need any man backing them.
No.
Not one.
No. Not one.
Not one, no. So there you go. All right, your calls and comments coming up. Oh, by the way, speaking of men, I'll mention again, actor Billy Porter, his Oscar tuxedo dress. There you go again. Men involved in gender cultural appropriation of women's fashions.
When will it stop?
I don't know.
And where do you get a tuxedo dress? Seriously. Brian says Target.
Oh, only in the Passover states.
Yeah, but only in the red states.
You know, you're only in the red states.
Right.
You can't get them in a blue state.
Yeah, no, see, Bill Maher's right.
That's why. We're jealous.
All the men in the flyover states or the Passover states are jealous because they don't have a tuxedo dress.
That's it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're jealous because you can only get a tuxedo dress in the city.
If only we lived in the big city where we could wear a tuxedo dress, said every farmer in the Midwest.
Hi, I'm on farmersonly.com
That's right.
My tuxedo dress.
In my tuxedo dress. I aspire to live in Hollywood, and I support the Green New Deal.
So let me ask you the question then. Is maybe that's the whole thing, because we talked about farmersonly.com compared to elite.com. Is elite.com, do we all in the Passover states look at elite.com and wish we could be part of that instead of farmersonly.com?
Oh, clearly, yeah.
Okay, just
clearly.
To make sure.
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
You may not be able to predict blizzards and ice storms, but you can prepare your truck to handle them. Make sure your truck is prepared for any last-minute winter storms by keeping tabs on your tires before each trip. Proper tire traction is essential year-round, but especially during winter when the roads are slick and roadway behavior is unpredictable. Protect your tire investment with routine checks and pre-trip inspections all winter long. Check pressure levels, tread depth, and inspect for any visible damage or debris stuck in wheel components. Look for steam or melted snow coming off wheel hubs, as this could indicate your wheel bearings are overheating. If necessary, give your tires a warm wash before inspecting them, as snow can cover potential warning signs of damage. If you need any tire assistance, stop into a TA truck service near you and speak to one of our TA certified tire experts.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara. We talked earlier about Bill Maher on his HBO show. Is it Real Time? On Friday.
Yeah.
Was mocking red state voters, saying things that are just absolutely untrue about them, that red state voters are jealous of blue state voters because of all they have, and the blue state voters wish, and the Passover rural voters wish they could be like the city folk.
Yeah, right.
I mean, all I can think of is, what is it? City Slickers. City folk. Let's go to Christopher in Reno. Christopher, hi. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Thanks.
So, Bill Maher, he explicitly shows his ignorance when he says something like that. Because here I live out in Reno, Nevada, on the outskirts, and what I get to do is work hard, take care of my family, and on the weekends, I can go ride my dirt bike, my snowboard, I've got beaches close to me, I've got all the luxuries of life I would like to keep me happy, and I don't have to worry about what the world thinks about me, because it's not important. It's only the people around me that are important, and it's just, it really just, it, disconcerting on how he thinks that's so important. That big city, last I checked, we all have the internet, so if I wanted to order a $1,200 Louis Vuitton purse for my girl, yeah, I could have the order.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And look, you know? Look, people, here's the point. The average person is too busy to be thinking about anybody but what's going on in their own life. People in the cities aren't thinking about people that are living in a rural. People live their own lives. It's when the left observes, it's how they think. It's how the elite left thinks. They actually think that way. Most average people, whether you live in the city or whether you live in the, they're worried about their own life. Hey, I'm doing what I'm doing the things that I wish to do.
Well, you know, and you look at the, I've always looked at the Oscars or any other awards show and celebration, you know, when any industry, music industry or whatever, when they celebrate themselves, to me, that's like the company banquet. I keep asking myself, why do they believe I should be interested? You know, and I've had a friend win a Grammy. So in that case, I had a little teeth in the game. Yeah. Cheering a friend on. Other than that, I really don't care because it doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't change how I watch a movie or what movie I might watch. I just don't. I don't make those choices that way. Yeah. But you'll see throughout the day today, you'll see the pictures and videos coming from the awards show where all the winners are holding up their trophies. And I'm thinking to myself, well, good. Your company banquet went well. But that's how I see it.
Yeah. As for Bill Maher saying that people in the red states are jealous of people in the blue states, like I said, that's an elite liberal who believes he has some kind of keen observation skills who gets it completely wrong. He may think that way. Maybe there's something he's jealous of.
Well, he believes, because he believes that Hollywood and the elite should be celebrated. That's how he thinks. He's the kind of guy that puts all of that into, you know, the red carpet and everything else. Sorry, but you guys may be jealous of each other, Spike Lee, but you're not the average person. Well, and the average person doesn't care who wins.
As I read the other day, the red carpet is sort of like all the haves telling all the have-nots how they should be responsibly living their lives.
Right. Yes. They all arrive in the limo.
They've got the yachts. They take their private jets everywhere, and then they're trying to tell you don't live your life right, and you're destroying the planet.
And as they win, they're going to preach to you about how you're destroying the planet right before they get back in their limo.
Exactly. And then they feel good about it.
And
they feel that same confidence in their cluelessness as an Ocasio-Cortez, as a Bill Maher.
Right.
Because if you look at it, he is extremely confident and cocky about his opinion.
Yeah. And always has been.
Yeah. And it's just like, well, but you're wrong. You know, you sound foolish. Because there is comedy, even comedy, observational comedy, which I think he thinks he's doing, has to be based somewhere on reality, and that certainly is not the case.
Well, he spent an insane amount of time at the Playboy Mansion. Who does that? That's somebody who wants to be seen, right? Somebody who wants to be hip and cool. This is the way he thinks, and he's projecting that onto middle America, believing they think the same way.
Well, it is also a way to be around good-looking women without any effort on your own.
Right, without having to do anything.
Yeah.
And not actually not having a life. I would say, in fact, I talked to somebody who's promoting a new movie recently, an actor, who went out to Hollywood, lived out there for 20 years, came back, lives in Texas now, and said, I'm never going to move back to Hollywood because the mentality out there is over the top insane. They really believe they live on a higher plane.
Now.
25 hours of reality. Every week, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 86690. Red Eye just was reading part of Peggy Noonan's column in the Wall Street Journal. Welcome to New York, Amazon. Now go home. And it's, as she writes here, and you and I said this last week, and by the way, just so everybody knows, New York does not make the greatest deals. The $1 billion they spend for the Solar City plant up there, or the what do they call it, the these weren't tax breaks, they were actually cash outlays to build their factory, I always said was a waste of complete time and money up there of taxpayer dollars. I don't know everything about this particular deal, even though I'm told it was in future tax breaks that are different than what it seemed like Solar City got in the western part of New York. But that being said, we said, as you and I said this last week, by the way that it was handled, and she writes it here, after Amazon's withdrawal, no major American company will open a new headquarters here for at least a generation. No CEO is going to do what Jeff Bezos did, invest all that time and money, do all the planning, negotiating, and deciding, only to see it collapse in bitter headlines because the politicians you're making the deal with can't control their own troops, and because in the end, summoning a humiliation to do big business in a town whose political life is dominated by a wild and rising progressive left. She talks about, you know, and it's really interesting because it's like, what would the old left have done? The old left would have got Amazon in there.
Mm-hmm.
And once Amazon became established and built their headquarters, and there were 25, 30, 40,000 jobs.
Now you put the squeeze on.
That's when you put the squeeze on. You don't put the squeeze on. That's when you go for the unionization. But here they are. They don't have to come. And she's talking about the meetings there where they're you know, the foul language which is being used, the representatives being harassed, the protest already happening. And so they just said, you know, the whole demand for unionization now. And they just went, well, no, well, we haven't signed anything. Bye.
Yeah, right. Just,
no, the old left would have been smarter. But this is where you've got a problem right now in the Democrat Party. And I think she points it out perfectly. The old left would have said, no, get them ingrained here. Give them the in-future tax breaks. They've got 40,000 jobs. They've got now $5, $10 billion invested here. They can't go anywhere.
Well, that's,
now squeeze them.
The problem is that they insist on the trolling, which starts with Ocasio-Cortez, because that's her district. And you have to then, the local leaders have to react to Ocasio-Cortez, which is where de Blasio came in and said, oh, well, no. We're working on, you know, trying to get them to unionize. Oh, wait a minute. I said that too quickly. I should have waited. Because that the outrage, the protest by Ocasio-Cortez and others was what essentially drove the rest of them to respond, including the mayor. Well, how are you going to respond? Oh, yeah, don't worry. We're going to put the screws to them. And then Bezos is looking at that going, yeah, wait a minute. No, this is not a good deal at all. We're out.
Well, you know, she writes, you can't expect Amazon, which is a business, to walk in declaring, we'll not only help you unionize, we'll organize your first strike.
That's right. Exactly.
I mean, that's what they expect.
Yeah,
look,
right.
if you're Amazon and a social justice warrior and you claim all these things about climate change and all of these other little things that you're always, talking about, well, then they're the new troll of today, the new left of today is going to demand complete obedience,
yes,
complete submission now. They don't want to wait for it.
No.
Because they're trying, You know, here's the thing. With the new left today, and you look at the Ocasio-Cortez, they want to win the trolling battle. Yes. They actually don't want to think about
this. They
want
to be louder.
I think this is what's really getting some people, you may say you guys are taking liberties by analyzing the left. Go ahead, say that. But I think it bears out that that's what's... Look, if you look at Cuomo, what did he say? This is the biggest loss of my administration. We lost this deal. We lost... We lost 25,000 to 50,000 jobs coming to New York State. We had the deal done. And once we get the deal done and promise them all this, then we can squeeze them later on. Then we can go for unionization of Amazon. But get them entrenched in a red state, or excuse me, in a blue state. Get them entrenched in the blue state, and then we'll go after them. And not only in New York, did you say this during the break, that not only is this going to be New York, because I read you the thing Peggy Noonan said, that no company's going to go to New York now, is the same going to be for California. If they know now that the Ocasio-Cortez mentality and trolling is everywhere, who's going to want to strike a deal in any of those places?
You're not going to want to go to a blue state. You're not going to want to go to those heavy blue areas. You're going to want to quietly go to the red areas. You're going to want to go and set up shop where you know that those jobs are going to be welcome. It's going to be cheaper to do business there. And if not, then you don't move at all. You expand your current headquarters. You don't move at all. You don't even talk about the expansion. Because you know you're going to be trolled endlessly. Why would you put your brand in that kind of fire? You're not going to... You don't want to do that. You don't want everybody who's working for you now to come under fire. Your brand is going to be a political football. Nope, I'll just quietly move over here or expand where we are.
You know, you look at the and this is a great point that I believe she's making, is that the old-time liberal would want to get the big corporations in there and then go after them and then get them to unionize. Because once they're in your state, then you can control their capital a lot more. You can control their, you can attempt to control their labor more. You can attempt to control their capital more. If they're not there, you can't succeed. The socialist in you cannot accomplish anything if the capital itself doesn't come to your state. So the whole thing is to lure the capital into your state. And then when you lure the capital into your state, then you can attempt to control it. But the new liberal is so interested in trolling the companies, the capital that exists out there, that the capital just says, we're not going to go to your area. We're going to go somewhere else. And then they cry victory. That's the new liberal. The old liberal saying, what are you doing? We just lost the ability to control that capital or to have more control of that capital. What are you doing, you idiot? You're calling yourself more progressive? If you're more progressive, you want control. So does that actually make somebody like a de Blasio or a Cuomo understanding that? Does that actually make them more liberal because they actually do have a very keen plan to control more of the capital, where Ocasio-Cortez is strictly aspirational?
Mm-hmm. Well, for her, it's all about that instant victory. You know, that elevates her status. That's all about her. Has nothing to do with anything else. She'll call it justice all day long while the party suffers for it. While liberals who fully understand, even Cuomo talking about it again, you know, that, well, the rich and the corporations can go anywhere. We have to have some pro-business attraction for our state. Nope, you can't have that. This is why you can't have nice things right here, because today's left insists on shouting you down, protesting to the point that you give up. They consider that to be a victory, and then you're gone. Well, they can go somewhere else. They can go to Florida, Texas, and and many other states who would welcome their business.
But I mean that. But to me, that's a huge split when you think about it. From you know the liberal Democrat, the more socialist who wishes to control the capital, because that's what it is. It's controlling the means of production. Well, you can't control the means of production if the production won't move to your area. Because as of yet, we're not there. I mean, she's hoping to probably get there, but we don't have yet the government ownership of businesses yet. But in order to control the capital, you've got to convince the private companies to come there. They're moving out of New York. They're moving out of California. And she makes a great point. Who's going to move to New York now? Who's going to even look at a state where Ocasio-Cortez has influence now, where she can get the crowds protesting you as soon as you want to build there? These companies are going to say, we got to stay out of the blue area states. We have to stay out. Who are the Congress people there? Are they close to Ocasio-Cortez? Are they all together? Are they all part of the same clique? And if they are, we can't go there because she gets wind of it. Next thing you know, she'll be out there protesting this big giveaway. And so we're not going to go. We as a company aren't going to go to Michigan. We're not going to go to Illinois. We're not going to go to California. Remember, she's nationwide now.
And she can talk about, things in her district. But we've talked about the whole thing with Kavanaugh, the whole thing with the behavior of the left. You might be able to get away with that in your district or your state. But the effect on your party is something that the party has to deal with.
Well, you and I said this. There were such incredibly huge tax breaks that it would have to take. Think about this. With those incredibly huge tax breaks that the whole country bid for, and Amazon very quickly said, nah, we're gone. I mean, that sent out such a huge message. We don't care what you offer us anymore.
Right.
We don't care if you're a liberal state, what you offer us. We can't trust you in the future because now we know what your game plan is. You have let us know. You've given us the flow chart. Here it is. Here's what you want. You're going to give us this, and then you admit you're going to take that. You're not saying you don't believe that that's the warning. If you don't believe that that's not a warning, let me put it this way, to a lot of other companies out there wanting to move to California or New York, well, then you're not thinking right, because it is. That was the warning right there.
Yep. You have the world's, one of the largest retailers, if not the largest retailer. And they didn't make that. That process went on forever in making that selection. That decision was made to turn it around, was made in a very short period of time.
And you have some of the, like I said, the left, Cuomo and de Blasio going, we had the richest guy in the world who was going to move it here.
That's a crown jewel.
The richest guy in the world with all that capital that we could control, but we need them entrenched in our state. And they're gone, and they had agreed to come, and it's your fault. Whoa. I mean, there's bitterness right now. There's huge bitterness.
Yeah.
In the Democrat Party right now between those two sides.
Actions have consequences. Right. And that kind of trolling and behavior in response to something like that has real-world consequences, and New York is feeling those right now.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Yeah, so after reading that Peggy Noonan op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal saying, talking about the two types of liberals out there, the liberal socialists that exist out there that, for example, wanted Amazon, to come to their state because you have no chance of controlling that capital if they're not there. And so you are reasonable, and you're reasonable up front, and you offer these benefits, and then they come in and they build their infrastructure, and they've got $15, $20 billion worth of property that is theirs that is entrenched. And then you go after them for unionization, and then you go after to to tax them more. That's when you go after them, when you actually have them in your geographical area, in your state. But Ocasio-Cortez seems to be just a troll who screams and yells and puts out things that are completely and totally unreasonable. She's talking about the purity of a socialist slash communist system out there that is not any type of reality even for the modern socialist in America today. I believe that's a discussion that's going on in the DNC right now. It's one of the most important stories that probably isn't being covered. Where is the Democrat Party going to go? Are we going to be a party that, I might say we, not me, but them, are they going to be a party that actually seriously, realistically tries to go after and controlling more of the capital in the United States? Or are they just going to live into fantasy land? That's a debate I bet you're going on right now in Democratic circles.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Well, it was the Oscars last night, as we all know, and are they moving away from politics? Well, we might also play the opening, right?
All right, let's
hear it. Let's play the opening. All right.
So just a quick update for everybody in case you're confused. There is no host tonight. There won't be a popular movie category, and Mexico is not paying for the wall.
There you go. So,
all right.
Now, we're the only ones that I believe has criticized Billy Porter for dressing up in the tuxedo dress. The actor Billy Porter from Posse. I've never seen him,
okay.
But he wore tuxedo dress. And as far as we know, the left has not called him out for gender appropriation yet.
I'm a man!
Gary McNamara.
How dare he?
Spike Lee was upset.
They didn't win the big prize.
Didn't win the big prize. Apparently he was upset and wanted to storm out and then got into apparently a heated discussion with some writer and turned his back when the award turned his back to the stage. Because what is an Academy Award if Spike Lee isn't watching?
Right. Yeah, you didn't really win if Spike didn't see
you
it
really,
happen.
You did, right.
It never really happened.
If an award is given in the woods,
right,
and Spike doesn't see it, is
does it
actually
really happen?
Does it really happen? Is it?
The answer is no. It does not. Clearly, to Bill Maher, nope. We don't want to be like you. We're thankful that we're not like you.
Yes. In other news, Bill Maher in his Friday show just insulted, mocked anybody who lives in the heartland. Anybody in the Passover state, anybody in a red state, by saying that people in red state are jealous of people that live in blue states and want to be like them.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other more important news.
Yeah, that's right. We want to be more like you guys.
He was talking, just, you know, Bill Maher was talking about Amazon, and that's good because Amazon should go to a red state because they need the jobs because all the good jobs, all the good things, all the money is being made in all the blue states.
Right.
It's only it's the blue sections.
They're jealous. The people in the red states are jealous that they don't get asked on a red carpet. They don't get asked who they're wearing because the response is always Target.
Oh, yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah, so we don't think that way, Bill. We know you do.
So apparently people are moving from the blue states to the red states because they pity the people in the red states and wish to go and help them.
Right. Yes. They just need to be helped.
In other important news, the president said Sunday he would delay an increase in tariffs on Chinese goods set to take effect by the end of this week, citing substantial progress on the issues regarding intellectual property and technology transfer after a weekend of talks. The president has been feeling the pressure. We had mentioned the Wall Street Journal article from a couple of weeks ago that talked about the highest number of farm bankruptcies in 10 years. Mm. And you can directly relate a lot of those to the tariffs that have been in effect now for about over a year, some of them. And then you also see that South Dakota, the South Dakota governor, a Republican, she called the president and said, "It's we understand what you're trying to do, but you've got to come to a deal. The tariffs are devastating the economy in South Dakota." So not a surprise at all that the president agreed to delay the tariff increase. They may be making inroads in China. I hope they are, but we also know that the pressure is there back home.
Yep, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. I suspect they'll get a deal, and then beyond that, they're going to have to move on the other tariffs and deal with the new NAFTA or whatever that's going to be, which I haven't heard any talk about that being taken up on the floor.
Nothing.
And then beyond that, steel and aluminum tariffs and where that would go.
The all-male military draft is unconstitutional. A federal judge in Texas ruled on Friday. Mm. U.S. District Judge Gray Miller of the Southern District of Texas wrote, "The time has passed on debate for women in the military, regardless of whether the matter of women serving in combat may have justified past discrimination. The average woman could conceivably be better suited physically for some of today's combat positions than the average man, depending on which skills the position required." I'm not touching that line. Combat roles no longer uniformly require sheer size or muscle, Miller wrote, in the form of declaratory judgment rather than an injunction. The lawsuit has been brought by the National Coalition of Men, which sought to raise awareness about the way sex discrimination affects men and boys. This gets to the Supreme Court. The all-male draft will not be viewed as unconstitutional. Mm. I'll tell you right then. Now, I am of the opinion that especially if they're looking for infantry, every demographic should be drafted before me. That's how much of equality I'm for.
Everyone will go before you.
Women, does children,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Especially children.
Because because I believe in equal rights.
Yeah, that too.
I'm an equal rights chicken hawk.
Mm-hmm.
No, they will.
Unconstitutional? No, but is it time we included everyone in on the? Don't we want to be inclusive when it comes to the military? Right.
Well, you would have. Here's the point. They can change it if they wish to.
Mm-hmm.
If we were in a war, Congress could simply say we're drafting women tomorrow because we need them in certain positions. And so it's not that you can't draft women. It's that the country has chosen not to because the military in the past. Now, we haven't used a draft in a long time. So in a way, it really doesn't matter because we're not drafting anybody. But if the draft did come up, and the military said we need women, Congress would pass that law that we draft women. It's will it be ruled unconstitutional, the draft for men? No, the military, if the military says here's what we need in order to win a war, Congress can say, all right, that's who you will draft. We don't want to draft women because we don't want to draft the same number of men as we draft women. Because that would be the next point it would come to. Because then we're going through a process of having to justify why we keep men and why we don't keep women. But if Congress said you can draft women to the scale that you wish and draft men to this scale if you wish, that would be I believe the Supreme Court would have no problem with either of those. The military through Congress can do whatever they wish to do when it comes mm-hmm. to a draft. Mm-hmm. There is no equal rights in the military. Doesn't exist.
No, but in the social setting and in the discussion of it all, isn't it time we included women in the draft?
That we don't have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, because you have to register for the draft.
Yeah, you register for the draft. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If Congress wished to do that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be done by the courts. That's my point. Congress can do whatever.
I'm with you on that, right. and I don't think it's unconstitutional either. But isn't it time that we're inclusive?
It wasn't what you said. It was you just put a hard accent. Isn't it time we be inclusive?
Well, but think about it. The standards in the military have changed. They have.
Well, they shouldn't have changed.
Mm-hmm. But we allowed them to change. If we're going to allow them to change, then shouldn't it be included? If you're going to require registration for the draft, that is for a nation to be ready in the event that there is a very quick escalation and imminent threat.
I would, if you were to, we don't have a draft, but if for selective service, mm-hmm. for if we go to war, understanding that the needs are much more dynamic, there may be a lot more need for computer programmers in the military that you'd have to have at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I would say I would have no problem with the registration. So you can mobilize whatever positions you need to mobilize.
Because you have the largest pool possible. That's the idea, that if you have to implement a draft.
Nurses.
Right.
Sorry, you're a nurse, you're going.
Right.
Yes.
So if you're going to have, if you're going to require registration for selective service, then it should be inclusive because you're going to have to fulfill many roles in the event that a draft would become necessary.
I'm not stating that all draftees of women would be nurses. I'm simply stating a demographic that is the majority of that position
mm-hmm.
in the private sector, which would be needed.
Because they're not all combat roles, is the point. And they're not.
Yes.
You're going to require people in different roles, and the job or any given role in the military has changed greatly. And the standards have changed greatly as a result of that. If we're talking about combat and boots on the ground, we can have that discussion. But when you're talking about having the largest pool available of smart and capable individuals.
Computer systems. I believe there's more college graduates that are women now today.
So you would want to make sure that that pool gave you the best possible selection.
But certainly an all-male military draft is not unconstitutional. I believe if it got to the Supreme Court, they would say the same thing.
So. No, because they can, again, it goes back to what a commander-in-chief or Congress can say about how we populate our military.
Right.
They've always had the ability to have that say-so.
And when it comes to national defense, I mean, there's nothing constitutionally stopping Congress from drafting women.
No, they can make the law anytime.
Right.
If they wanted to change that.
Children,
which they should.
Children there probably would be. So.
Yeah, but kids can't vote, so I say we make it happen.
I know I'm going to get an email for saying that everybody served before me. Someone's not going to take the sarcasm in that, are they?
Mm.
Somebody's going to write me an email on that one.
Well, you are. See, you admitted you're a chicken hawk.
I think children should be drafted. There are plenty of things they can do.
Only in the NFL.
I think we have some of those in the NFL. Yeah. Yeah.
So where else are we? What else is going on? Oh, coming up here, the biological men are dominating the women at the state track meet in Connecticut. We'll get to that one.
Not just at the Oscars with their dresses?
Not just at the Oscars with their dresses, okay. No. There's where we are now. The only dress I know at the Oscars.
Worn by a man. The only one
I'm familiar with.
Worn by a man.
Is worn by a man.
Well, and then you have the left. We played it earlier. The left on MSNBC criticizing Kamala Harris and saying that she's going to need to be surrounded by strong black men.
Yep.
In order to succeed.
Because her husband is white?
Because her husband's white.
And she also needs a man.
Yes.
Whose
skin
color.
She needs to be surrounded by men.
Surrounded by men of a certain skin color.
Why are they so sexist at MSNBC?
Wow. Yeah, the transgender sprinters finished first and second at the Connecticut Girls Indoor Track Championships. Mm. Two men won.
That's fair, right?
Two biological men won.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sure. We don't make the rules. You're going to change the rules of a society, expect things like that to happen.
Yep.
And they do.
Yep. Don't be angry about it.
Celebrate.
Especially in Connecticut.
Celebrate it.
Celebrate it.
Why aren't we hearing? Because remember,
first man
to have a baby, first pregnant man, remember that?
You know,
it was a celebration.
Yeah. You know how progressive we are? We want to get to the point where it's not just the men take first and second at the Connecticut Girls Indoor Track Championships. We want to get to the day where we can celebrate that every woman, every girl who's in the Connecticut Girls Indoor Track Championship, every girl who competes is a boy. Then we will have equality.
The all-transgender team.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Usually, during its annual Outlook Forum going on this week, USDA talks about its farm income forecast for this new crop year. But attendees here a little bit disappointed, no income forecast. USDA analyst Carrie Nitkowski told us that's because of that 35-day partial government shutdown.
The release that was scheduled, or the farm income release, had to be postponed to March 6th, so we would have time to put together the estimates and forecasts with the latest data that's available.
So analysts here are focusing more on the general state of the farm economy. On that score,
we are seeing farm debts rising, but farm assets far outweigh the level of debts. You know, in absolute dollar values, the farm debt is at a historic high, but the overall ratio of debt to assets is still rather low, or historically low.
About 15% or so. It was up around 23% during the 1980s farm crisis. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Arlington, Virginia.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Other news out there, the U.S. to leave 400 troops in Syria. And that's a reversal from what the president said, because as long as you have hundreds of troops over there, you have the infrastructure to back them up, which is needed, because if that infrastructure is there to back up those 400 troops, that infrastructure is there to do anything that we need to do in that area to blunt both Assad and the Iranians. So the president reversed course on what he originally said, which we disagreed with, and we're glad that he made this decision to keep a presence in Syria. Doesn't matter whether it's 2,000 or 400.
Right. Well, because clearly there was a realization that a complete void in that region, but specifically in that country, was going to create a great opportunity for countries like Iran and, to some extent, Russia.
Yes, and blunt Russia, too, yes.
Yes, and you're not... You just simply can't do that. Everyone keeps focusing on ISIS. The goal was never about ISIS in Syria. It really was about keeping Assad at bay. But beyond that, also keeping Iran and the Russians at bay. And clearly they believe they have to do that to some extent. Here is your forecast.
High wind warnings are going to affect travelers in the east through at least midday, maybe even into tomorrow morning as well. And the winds will be strongest if you're traveling north and south, because that wind is out of the west in the east. On portions of I-70, the Pennsylvania Turnpike, I-77, through Virginia. You won't experience the highest of winds, as again, those winds are out of the west, but traveling up and down the I-95 corridor, especially in high profile vehicles, will be a challenge into midday. With winds between Washington, D.C. and Boston gusting to at times 50 miles an hour or more. There are wind restrictions for certain vehicles in portions of the east, especially on some bridges and overpasses. You'll want to check ahead on your ultimate destination for that. In the west, winter storm warnings extend from Oregon and Washington over to Montana. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 86690 Red Eye.
Got the goods. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. 86690 Red Eye. Our audio cut of the day coming up here in just a few moments. Audio cut of the weekend, I guess, is what it is. From Politico, Trump's secret victory to 2020 Hispanic voters. Yes, it's true. The man who wants to build a wall to keep out immigrants, illegal immigrants is how it should be written. Is winning over just enough Latinos to get reelected unless Democrats figure out how to stop it.
And how do you do that? Because they are the ones who have been working, in the complete opposite direction to the extent that you have sanctuary states. You have Skater Bob saying, yeah, it's okay, we can take the wall down in El Paso, no problem. I wouldn't have a problem with that. So how do you reverse that politically?
Well, he's got 50% support of Hispanics in the latest polling, and what they're saying is he wins with that.
Yes.
Trump wins.
That's enough to get him.
That's enough to get him the victory.
Right.
Do they believe that he is anti-wall?
Right.
No. They all know where he stands. How would Democrats change that?
What do they do to position themselves, and what do they do to also counter-position him? There's really no way to change it. There's no way to undo any of that on their side or his. He's as blunt and clear as can be on where he stands there. They're the ones actually that have been trying to get away with not telling the truth about where they stand, except in their actions on a sanctuary state and county and city policy level. So their actions are clear. Yeah. And the president benefits from that. And there's no way to reverse that. Those core positions between now and November of next year. You're not going to be able to do that. Not going to happen.
It's going to be fascinating to watch all this play out. Because remember, that was January 20th that the last poll was taken, which surprised everybody because that was in the midst of the wall battle.
Right. Yep.
It was like, well, what's going on? Well, because there's a significant portion of people in this country, including minorities, that believe in law and order and believe in citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the other point. What you find, this is the one thing the Democrats may not take into consideration. One of the things that Democrats do that infuriates legal immigrants to this country that went through the process is when they blend illegal immigrants and legal immigrants into the same category.
Right.
That you talk to a legal immigrant. I don't care where they came from. They are some of the first ones that when you differentiate between illegal immigrants and legal immigrants are the ones that give this great big sigh of relief and say, thank you so much. I'm so sick and tired. People don't know what I had to go through or my family had to go through to get to the United States and how we had to wait in line to do it. And now the Democrats purposely try to distort what's going on by lumping everybody as an immigrant. I just read that there, you know, that right here where they have when President Donald Trump tweeted on January 20th that he reached 50% approval among Hispanic voters. Most fair-minded observers reacted with skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, yes, it's true. The man who wants to build a wall to keep out immigrants, which he does not.
No.
In fact, he's been clear on that. He wants immigrants to come in legally. He's talking illegal immigrants. Politico doesn't even, David Bernstein doesn't write it in the story that way. Why not? There is an absolute difference between legal immigration and illegal immigration.
Especially when it pertains to the nature of the story he's writing here.
Yes. Especially when there's a president that has been, for months, articulating that there is a difference, correcting reporters. Who was that reporter that he corrected? I can't think of his name when they got into a little bit of a debate that one time. Mr. Acosta. Oh, yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. Remember that. Everybody forgets that part of the conversation, don't they?
Because that's what he was telling Jim Acosta in the moment that led up to where they basically shut Jim Acosta down. He was saying, no, we want legal immigrants because we need them to fulfill the jobs that are being created by the expanding economy. And that part was never really covered.
No, it wasn't.
And it won't be.
Yeah.
But if you listen and you know, and this is the, you know, the critical thinking that everyone is capable of doing. We talked about how this is not a complex issue at all. At all. It's very simple. We're not even getting into the discussion about immigration reform at all. And because remember, the left had an opportunity. Even the editorial board at the Washington Post was telling Nancy during the shutdown, hey, at least go to the table and ask for something. You don't even know what you could get. Ask for something. But the Democrats didn't want to have any conversation even about immigration reform. It was no, 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 until the pressure was on, obviously, to do at least something. And what you're likely seeing here, this kind of support from this demographic, you're likely seeing part of the reason why the Democrats had to cough up something. Right. Was it a complete victory for the president? No, it was not. But was it more than the zero that Nancy said? Absolutely.
And as I read in the article, I mean, he got 28%. They expect him to get 18% in the last vote. He got 28%, which is enough, he said, for a victory.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, you know, dotted the 50%, but they know he's already polled better. So, as we've said, they legal immigrants to this country know more than anybody, and they get more emotional, I've seen, than any, because they feel it's unfair to lump themselves into illegal immigrants, because they say, look, we came here legally. Look at, you know, the passion.
And the process isn't simple. It's not fast.
You know, the passion that they have, the passion that so many legal immigrants have to wanting to come to this country. Why? Not just for a job, but for what? To become an American.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that there's a difference. They wish to become American citizens. They didn't come to just to get a job and, okay, I want legal status to keep the job, as many illegal immigrants want. You can understand that. If you're loyal to your own country, but the only place you can find work is somewhere else, you're still going to be loyal to your own country. You just want the job.
Yep. No harm, no foul.
Right. So the U.S., the next question then would be, as we have said, the tough questions of immigration. Is that who you wish to become a permanent U.S. citizen? Right. Or is it the people that wish to become? That's the difference between illegal immigrants as to their motivation versus the motivation of some illegal immigrants as to legal immigrants to this country. The majority of legal immigrants, they wish to be American citizens. And that's the process that they go through.
Last week, I think I showed you, it was off the air, we were talking, but one of the news agencies that I follow had a picture of, and it was hundreds being sworn in, and they were getting their, they were becoming citizens on that day, and holding the small flags and everything with their hand over their hearts, and you could see it in their eyes. That was a proud moment for them. That's a much different mentality than light years, by the way, from, you know, even separating the other individuals who want to come here. Separate those individuals who have become citizens, who are here legally, who came here legally and love this country, from the people in power. It's light years. People who say we should have sanctuary policy, that we should give them the ability to vote, that we should afford all of these things that individuals for years and years have had to come here and work hard to achieve and do it legally.
Well, remember the polling that was done in Canada that the left didn't want to talk about, which was any immigrant to this country should share our Canadian values.
Right.
And there was like, what? Could you? And I said, can you imagine saying that any immigrant that comes here must share American values, that the majority of Americans believe that, and we're called racist for that.
Right.
Canadians are called progressive for that.
Yes. How dare you? You're a nationalist, you're a Canadian saying the same
thing. Right, there's a Canadian culture. Yes. We wish you to be Canadian. Well, that's accepted. Well, there's a culture in America, and we wish you to be part of the American culture. We wish you to be part of our values and our culture, which is what the Constitution stands for.
Right.
That's what we're really talking about. It's not that you become a Dallas Cowboys fan.
No. Or
even though Eric would require
that. Or the owner of the Patriots.
Oh, man. We didn't get to talk about that. That's like Friday. It was like a century ago. Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, the memes over the weekend. And by the way, now it's all of a sudden resurrected again. Prostitution between two consenting adults should be legal.
Yes.
If there's no child trafficking.
Right.
Or sex trafficking involved.
Right.
That got to be an interesting conversation over the weekend on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't get it. You're a multi-billionaire. What in the world are you doing soliciting prostitutes? Look, if you want to be a single guy and date around, I guess, you know, a lot of people would look at that and go, okay. But soliciting prostitutes, That just boggles my mind.
We'll talk more
just
about that.
Boggles my mind.
I'm sure this week. Got to play our audio cut of the day.
All right.
Ready?
All right.
Ocasio-Cortez. Here we go.
Like, I just introduced Green New Deal 2 weeks ago, and it's creating all of this conversation. Why? Because no one else has even tried. Because no one else has even tried. So people are like, oh, it's unrealistic. Oh, it's vague. Oh, it doesn't address this little minute thing. And I'm like, you try. You do it. Because you're not. Because you're not. So until you do it, I'm the boss.
That's
how
right.
About that? You
heard? I'm the boss. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Please keep talking.
Yeah.
Don't ever stop.
Yeah.
See, that you wonder why Eric and I believe in First Amendment rights and we never want to shut the left up ever? Please keep talking.
Yeah.
Wow.
Public servant? Yes. Boss? No.
No. No. Everybody agree? Is she the boss? No.
No.
Public servant? Supposed to be.
Tony Danza's the boss.
Yes. Even though Alyssa Milano thinks she is now.
Yeah, probably.
866-90-RED-EYE.
How are you treating your truck this winter? Stay prepared by treating your fuel with the proper additives. The most commonly used additives help decrease fuel gelling during colder months, but certain additives can benefit your truck in a number of ways. Cetane boosters can help boost your fuel's cetane rating, which improves the ignition quality of the fuel. This means your fuel will burn faster and result in a smoother and quieter running engine. as well as quicker engine starts. If you're dealing with damage to fuel pumps and injectors, use a detergent additive, which can help dissolve harmful deposits that form on these critical parts of the truck. Whether you're trying to combat fuel gelling or boost your cetane rating, an additive may be just what you need. Stop into a TA truck service near you to shop our selection of cold weather additives today.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Well, I wonder if they had a camera on Spike Lee yesterday. He was furious when Green Book won the Best Picture attempted to storm out of the theater. He walked towards the back of the auditorium, and according to a reporter for Deadline, got into what appeared to be an intense conversation with another writer. The report said he turned his back to the stage during the speech. Now, that's the kind of thing that if they had a camera on that, the Spike Cam.
Yeah.
That would get me to watch the Oscars.
Right.
Every time. Let's see the faces of the people you know are going to be ticked off when they don't win.
It's no surprise coming from him.
The narcissist cam, the Spike cam.
Right. But, you know, gone are the days, at least for him, maybe they never were the days, where people would go, well, it's an honor to be nominated, and I'm proud of everyone that helped this movie happen.
Yes, especially the honor was not in the nomination for Spike.
No. The honor's in the win. Now, he got one for adapted screenplay. He got an Oscar. He won an Oscar, but that's not enough. You got to win the top
one. Not a big enough Oscar.
That's right. It's got to be the big one.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.